Yo, what's going on, man? I'm Al Andrews, here to bring you the next episode of After the Whistle, a sports broadcast created by yours truly. If you want, stay tuned and we can go ahead and get this show on the road, man. But before we get started, first and foremost, the first thing we're going to talk about on the show, we're going to start with the blockbuster Russell Westbrook trade. And of course, him going to the Houston Rockets in exchange for Chris Paul going to Oklahoma. The very first thing I want to say is, will it work? I know most people sitting here thinking like, man, it's Russell Westbrook and it's James Harden, a reunion. It worked in OKC. It should work now. I totally get it. But the thing about it is, they are two different ball players from, you know, from the past of them being both in Oklahoma. For one, Russell Westbrook is a ball-centric guard. He needs the ball in his hands in order to create offense for others. You don't see him at times often cutting off ball or getting off-ball screens or anything like that because he's not a spot-up shooter. He's not a catching shooter. Like I said, he doesn't cut to the basket as often in offense, so it makes it hard for the Rockets. Spread offense for him to play with that, for him to play with that team. I mean, most of the Rockets' points come from threes and layups, and Russell Westbrook was only a 29% three-point shooter from last year, and not only last year, from the season before as well. So for two seasons, he's only shooting 29% from three. And then again, they take the layups, they get to the cup, they get to the rim, and shoot free throws. That's something else that Russell Westbrook isn't good at. If you take a look at the numbers, he's only a 69% free throw shooter from both seasons as well. Then again, although Russell Westbrook did average a triple-double, I wouldn't consider him as a prime playmaker. You have to think about it. It's easy to get to the cup, go up for a layup, or go up for a dunk and switch out of it and pass it to your center that's right there beside the rim. Him go up for a layup and boom, you got an assist. It's easy for you to do that. I'm not taking anything away from Russell. He's a great point guard. Very explosive, probably one of the most explosive point guards I've seen next to Derrick Rose and everything. But both of these players are primary scorers. Take for instance James Harden. He knows how to pass the ball. Don't get me wrong, but he's an electric scorer. Both of them are ball predominant guards that I don't think it's going to work in Houston. And most definitely going to make the playoffs. But as far as long-term success with the finals, I feel like it's going to have to be a real struggle with those two guys. One thing that you have to keep in mind is what kind of offense the Houston Rockets and Mike D'Antoni will be pushing to run. Whether it be the pick and roll, whether it be five out, will it be four out, one in? Will it be the spread offense like they normally do? Now, if they're running the spread offense with Russell Westbrook as the primary ball handler and James Harden more so playing the shooting guard position, it will make it easier for Russell Westbrook to find his shooters on the wing, opposed to when he was with Oklahoma, when they didn't even have the option to play the spread offense, not being able to have enough shooters on the court. So if you want to think about the good thing about this, it will make it easier for Westbrook to be able to find his shooters and everything. It will be make it easier for Russell Westbrook to get to the rack because the lane will be more open in a spread offense or a pick and roll because it will be that one big man setting him the screen and him either rolling or finding the next shooter that's open in the corner or on the wing. So, like I said, however the Houston Rockets play this, they will definitely be a top three, top two team in the West, most definitely. They're definitely going to be dangerous. And just depends on how they play it out in the playoffs to see how far they can make it. The Western Conference Finals or the Finals, period. I'm definitely trying to book them for the Western Conference Finals. The next thing I want to talk about is if Sam Presti is even the right man for the Thunder rebuild. I mean, think about it. And yeah, he did trade away Ray Allen. He did trade away Rashard Lewis. In return of getting Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. But the thing about that is, he ended up with three of those MVP caliber players. One of which being the two-time champion and a 2-time finals MVP for a rifle team to not get a championship. He didn't even get a championship out of this. Now, think about it. Again, he traded Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis. Two people of which are at least have finals history in Rashard Lewis. And Ray Allen, who is arguably the best shooter in NBA history, that is a 2-time champion. So, you can't really... A 3-time champion, excuse me, I'm sorry. You can't really say Sam Presti is the right man for the rebuild. But at the same time, this is probably the place where he's most comfortable. Because he's not on the hot seat to win. He's more so on the hot seat to make his team better. If you understand what I'm saying? He does need another star. If he even wants to think about contending. You're not going to just contend with Chris Paul on your team. And a bunch of... I would just say Steven Adams, per se. You're not going to contend with that team. So right now, he's comfortable rebuilding the Thunder roster and trying to get it to what it was. But at the same time, I don't see Sam Presti. If I'm the owner of the team or president of basketball operations, I don't see Sam Presti being the GM for too much longer. I mean, like I said, you had James Harden. You had Kevin Durant. You had Russell Westbrook. Hell, you even had Serge Ibaka that just came off a championship run. And you didn't get one championship out of those four players? You didn't get one. That's my take. This is going to bring us to our next topic, in which we're going to be talking about Chris Paul in the Oklahoma City Thunder's jersey. But quite frankly, I think he needs to make a move. I don't think he's going to get a buyout because his contract is way too large. But there's definitely no need for him to stay. He's too old to be on a rebuilding team like that, man. My personal preference to see him go to the 76ers or to the Bucks would be a tremendous pickup for either of those teams. For one, the 76ers. 76ers is a great team for him because they give him a floor general and a facilitator off rip. It takes the pressure off Ben Simmons from him bringing the ball up court. And plus, it puts another shooter in the offense with them. So if you want to, like I said, make Chris Paul the facilitator on that team, you could put Ben Simmons on the wing. And then you can put a pick and roll game with Joel Embiid and Chris Paul. Listen, you thought a Blake Griffin and Chris Paul pick and roll was great. Wait till you see a Joel Embiid and Chris Paul pick and roll tandem. That would be godly. I'm sorry. If it ever happens, it would be godly. Not only for that to happen, but you have Ben Simmons on the wing with Josh Richardson that they just acquired from the Heat. You have nothing but lockdowns on the team. You have Al Horford from the Celtics. Come on, man. That would be perfect for Chris Paul to go to, honestly. That would be a perfect situation for Chris Paul to go to. He has defenders around him. He has shooters, of course, not Ben Simmons. He does have shooters around him. And like I said, a pick and roll with Ben Simmons, hell, or Al Horford, or Joel Embiid. Like I said, they have a mixture of talent and young talent for him to mentor Ben Simmons, at least. Like, this is huge. Like, if he can go to the 76ers, it would be phenomenal. Like, no, I don't even have nothing else to say about that. It would be phenomenal. Bucks, of course, it would be a great pick up for him and Giannis. Like I said, a pick and roll with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Paul would be crazy. That would be crazy. And not only that, Giannis will have a point guard that he can run with. It kind of takes some load off Eric Bledsoe, but him having to be the backup to Chris Paul again would kind of mess the locker room up again. I'm pretty sure you understand what I'm saying. But the Bucks, that would be a good pickup. They put another shooter in the backcourt for Giannis. Like I said, Chris Paul can, again, be a facilitator for that team, just like he can be for the 76ers. Sleeper teams, I could say, one would be the Lakers. Of course, him being close friends with LeBron James could, you know, get them to unite there. But the only thing that keeps them, you know, from being an outlier, everything, would be Rajon Rondo. They don't have a good history with each other. And then his contract is kind of large, but if he can get a buyout some way, somehow, I would keep in mind the Lakers. Also, the Spurs. The Spurs have a good way of turning back the clock on older players and Greg Popovich. You pair Greg Popovich's mind with Chris Paul's mind and skill set, at least, I can expect them to see them in the playoffs very easily. Fifth seed. Not people are counting them out now, but I can easily expect them in the playoffs with Chris Paul and Greg Popovich. DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. That'll be a sleeper team. DeJounte Murray, a lockdown defender, point guard. That would be a very, very sleeper team. If a trade cannot be done, and a buyout cannot be done, probably be looking at retirement. I'm just joking. But honestly, we're probably going to be looking to see Chris Paul in an Oklahoma City jersey at the start of the season. He signed a 4-year, $160 million contract in 2017, and he's set to get paid $40 million next season. So that could be a real reason why he doesn't get a buyout.